Welcome to this episode of Sleep Health with Dr. Alison Bentley. In this episode, we're going to be talking about CPAP. So that stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. And those are the machines that we recommend for treatment for moderate to severe sleep apnea. And for that purpose, I know about CPAP, but I'm really not an expert on all of that bits. So for that purpose, I've invited JJ from Aero Healthcare, so Mr. JJ van Dongen, to come and talk to us about all of those bits. So welcome, JJ, to the podcast.
Thank you, Alison. Yeah.
I'm just going to start really by the process whereby people get to you and come and get a CPAP machine. So initially, patients will have a sleep study because they have symptoms or their doctors are concerned that they might have sleep apnea. And in the sleep study, usually certainly when I'm reporting on sleep studies, if the sleep apnea is moderate to severe, and that means it's happening more than 20 times per hour, we would recommend a CPAP as treatment for the sleep apnea. But before that, what we do is recommend a CPAP titration. So there's a number of implications there. So firstly, why do we even recommend CPAP? And that is because the data tells us that once the airway is being closed 20 times an hour or more, that there are significant complications. So we know that there's increased prevalence of heart disease, increased risk of diabetes, increased risk of dementia, depression, et cetera, et cetera. And it seems to be that what sleep apnea does is not allow you to service the car, which is your body, and therefore it breaks down faster.
Yep.
And we can't predict, obviously, what the breakdown's going to be because it's different for different people. But as you and I have discussed before, there's literally no disease that is not hastened by sleep apnea. So that is the reason why we suggest. We then do a CPAP titration, which ranges from 1 to 3 nights, where in our situations, patients use your mask, your machines, or my mask and my machines for 3 nights to try it out. And what we're trying out really is the patient able to sleep with the machine? Does the machine work? Does the patient feel a whole lot better during the day? And they have a chance to try out different masks. The machine is an auto machine, so it's self-adjusting, and we can get a lot of information from that machine when they bring it back. So that's the run into this conversation. So that's not what the conversation's about. The conversation's about at that point, they will then need to purchase their own CPAP machine, and that's where you come in, right?
Yeah.
So let's start off with the fact that there are different components to the CPAP machine. I mean, a lot of people seem to think that CPAP is the mask, but it's not. The mask is useless without the machine. So there's 4 components that I'm aware of. There's the machine that actually does the job. There's a humidifier. There's a pipe that connects the machine to the mask, which is the 4th component. So I'd like us to walk through those components one by one, if that's okay. So let's start with the machine. Blunt question, is there only one brand of machine? Is there only one type of machine? Or are there different types of machines? And where do you think the confusion comes in with patients?
Okay. Yeah. So, Alison, we as IRO, we represent 4 of the 6 global brands. We use masks, which are from the 2 top brands, specifically because the focus for us more is about patient adherence.
Mm.
So everything we'll discuss here now is about how do we keep patients using the equipment for longer than just a short period, because some patients may be on for the rest of their lives. Others may be able to get off the equipment after a period of time. The key thing is that a patient, when they get to this point of going, and we call it going commercial, they actually physically have got a script or they've been recommended to buy a CPAP and a mask, they can go to any vendor.
Mm.
And it's about what they feel the most comfortable about. So yes, there are 4 components. There are a number of global brands from like car, from value through to premium.
Mm.
And everyone has its own benefits. But in terms of the CPAP itself, there are a number of options that a patient has.
Mm.
So when they get the report will say you have a certain pressure that is needed to keep your throat open. Okay. That determines in many cases the direction, whether the patient will go to a manual CPAP or whether the patient will have an auto CPAP or maybe even the patient will have a BiPAP.
Okay. So just explain what those 3 are.
So those are the 3 brands. So first, the 3 types. So first of all, a manual CPAP. The patient will start at a certain pressure. After a certain time, it will get to the pressure that the doctor has specified in the report.
Mm.
And all the reports will have that pressure in. And it will then stay at that pressure constantly.
Mm.
It will not change from that pressure. day in, day out, year in, year out.
But the point is that they can fall asleep at a lower pressure, and
exactly.
then it goes up.
It ramps up over
ramps
a period of
time.
Usually
yes.
about 15 minutes, yes. 20 minutes, which the patient can adjust for themselves as they go
okay.
forward. Then you have the auto machine. The auto machine will start at that same pressure, will go up to approximately where that pressure is as specified in the report. But like in the titration, it may vary from night to night, depending on nasal conditions, depending on how the patient's sleeping, et cetera, in terms of it. And the third type is a BiPAP. Now, the BiPAP's a little bit different. Some patients struggle with the exhale when they breathe out. So that what a BiPAP does is it has two pressure levels. On the inhale, it has a particular pressure level linked back to what's in the report. But on the exhale, it will be at a lower pressure. The machine then decides it needs to reduce the pressure as the person's exhaling to help them breathe out. Now, you only need to go to a BiPAP if the doctor has specified you should go to a BiPAP and you've been titrated on a BiPAP. And it's usually due to more to lung complications, if I can put it that way. Most people are on a manual or an auto CPAP.
Yeah.
Okay. Generally in South Africa, people tend to go towards auto. It's, to be honest, like a car. An auto, you start at the stop street and you just keep on driving. A manual, you will adjust it. So there's no difference clinically between the two machines.
Yeah.
So my first advice of patients is, because there's a financial difference, have a look and see what your pressure is.
Yes.
And consider whether you should go on a manual CPAP versus an automatic CPAP.
Because presumably the lower the required pressure is, the easier the manual is to manage.
Exactly.
Whereas often in the auto, certainly on the reports that I've looked at, on the auto machine, there may be points during the night where it goes higher. For example, if you lie on your back or you go into REM sleep. But it's not high the whole night. And so you don't need that higher pressure the whole night. And the auto allows you to stay on a low pressure, but will adjust for when you do need a higher pressure, which the fixed pressure device won't do.
Exactly. Also, in longer term, you may find if a person loses a significant amount of weight, then the auto machine will drop its pressure as it proceeds during that person's history. So in terms of the differences between brands, if I can put it that way, generally the value brands are good value, as they say, but they may be slightly more noisy than the more premium brands. And that's important to consider when you're actually sleeping.
Yes.
Secondly, there's a difference in weight between the machines. So if you're traveling a lot, consider whether you can decouple your humidifier and your CPAP because you may only then have a 1 kilogram machine which you can put in your computer bag and you can travel versus having a more bulky type of unit that you're taking. Other items are the premium machines tend to have apps that run on your cell phone, for example, that allow you to download your nightly data onto your cell phone and you can then see it nicely on your cell phone. But that same data is still sitting on your CPAP.
Right.
It's really a nice to have in some of those features. And the last one is about algorithms. That's probably the most important.
Okay.
Because if you're a complex person, and that would have been identified by your specialist when you were having your titration, you may need to decide to go to a more premium machine that has stronger algorithms to manage the more complexities related to that.
So by algorithms, you mean the software in the background for an auto machine particularly that defines when the pressure gets pushed up and when the pressure gets dropped by the software in the machine. That's what you mean by the algorithms.
Exactly. Okay. So that's really it. But all machines, CPAP, will do the same thing. Their objective the whole night long is to reduce the apneas that you have. An auto machine, that all it does, it just spends the whole night trying to find and hunt for these apneas to bring your apneas down from the 20 to below 10 and ideally below 5 events per hour.
Right. And so I think, but you raise an important point. The fact is that all CPAP machines have a smart card in them and are recording all the data every night, mainly data about how long you're using the machine, what the numbers are, so what the apneas are, and then if there's any leak from the system. So you can go back 3 months if you wanted to and get that data from your machine at any time. Is that correct?
That's 100% correct. They're called an SD card, so they either see the data on the front of the screen, 1 day, 7 days, 30 days, or else they upload the data if the specialist wants it, or if you'll cardiologist wants to understand your adherence,
or
the aviation authority, any of these things, we upload the data and you can actually see a detailed breath by breath through the night.
Yeah.
So even longer than 6 months. It could be two, three years ago what's happened. And that's quite useful to see how you've progressed over a period of time.
Yes.
But all CPAPs generally have the same objective, clinically, whether it's a manual and auto, address the same issue and do it very well.
Do it very well now, yes.
And more importantly is probably the mask.
Yes. Well, we're going to get to the mask. We're going to get to the mask. But there are some consumables within the machine, aren't there?
Yes.
And that's mainly the filters.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, there is. So all CPAPs will have a filter of one or type. It will usually be like a foam or like a little cloth type of material. Those should be washed once a week.
Okay. And that is filtering the air that's coming from your room into – so actually when you're on a CPAP, you're breathing in clean air. Cleaner air than you would otherwise. Is that correct?
Yes, as long as you've cleaned your machine.
As long as you've cleaned
You'll hear me talking a bit later about that.
If you have a dirty filter, you're not, you're breathing in dirty air.
Breathing in dirty air.
Okay. But that's really the only consumable bit in this machine are the filters. Everything else is pretty standard.
Everything else is standard.
And, and these, I mean, people often worry about the fact that, I mean, they cost 10,000 to 20,000 rand, these machines. They're not cheap, but they are designed to go for a long, long time. I mean, it's a really good investment. Most machines will go for 10 years, 8, 10 years.
Yeah.
The mask won't, so but that's a different thing. But the machine itself is very robust.
Yes.
And will go on for ages.
Typically in the medical aids here locally, they will replace a CPAP or be part of the discussion every 3 years. They have provisions that are related to that. Masks typically once a year should be replaced or changes in terms of that. But as you say, these machines last a long time. We see machines of 10 years plus, 20,000 hours the machine has run.
Exactly.
If you think people sleeping 6 to 8 hours a night, how many nights they've slept on that same machine and they've worked and done the same job.
But I mean, you're saying that the medical aids will replace it. They don't pay for the whole thing generally. Generally, there's a co-payment. So it's not as though the medical aid is paying for all of it. Often it's coming from savings or it's coming from there. So it is a purchase that the patient is actually making every 3 years. So the point is, yes, the medical aid will pay for it, but you don't have to replace it every 3 years.
Exactly.
I think it's important. This is not a car that's going to collapse after 3 years. It's not, doesn't have a three-year life.
Yes.
And that's not why it's being replaced, okay, every 3 years. So it can go for a lot longer. Okay. So I think we've got the machine. And then you mentioned that with the machine comes a humidifier. And in some machines, that's a separate little piece that clips on. And in other machines, it's part of the machine. Now, I don't think there's any difference between those two components when they're on, but why would you need a humidifier?
Usually it's in the case of people to make it more comfortable. These are more about how do you support the patient in longer term adherence. And if you're sleeping with a CPAP on you, say with a nasal mask, there's a lot of air blowing into your nose and into the back of your throat, which gets dry. The object of the humidifier is to raise the humidity a little bit to make it more moist, to actually make it a bit more comfortable. So you don't wake up in the middle of the night with a very dry mouth or are disturbed by that. People get used to it though. So generally the humidification is probably less important in a coastal area than say in the Johannesburg area in the middle of winter. Okay. That does raise the issue with the humidification is that the biggest concern patients usually raise is my piping has got water in it or my humidifier is too high. You can always set down that humidifier, turn it down to a lower level.
Yeah.
Generally, there are two types of modes in the humidifiers. There's what they call a fixed mode, which is a traditional one, because this is really like a distilling of water. You heat the water, it goes into the pipe. The room is cold, the water condenses in the pipe.
Yes.
And you then have water coming potentially into the back of your throat or gurgles in the pipe somewhere. So in the case of like a Philips machine, you do have a mode called adaptive mode of humidification where it senses, the machine is intelligent enough to sense whether there's water, the humidity in the pipe versus the humidity in the room and tries to balance that so that you then get a, don't get water in the pipes.
Okay.
And that's the way, but it's really person to person, environment to environment. If you're sleeping with air conditioning in your room, you may need the humidification lower because your room is cooler. If you're in the middle of summer and it's raining, you may need the humidification slightly lower. But you as a person can adjust it. The key thing is to make sure that your CPAP sits at approximately the same level as you. Shouldn't sit way above you. Because if it's way above you, the water will run down the pipe and come into the back of your throat. And that's really just – it's just – understanding how to use your machine to the best, most effective way.
But some people who do have the machine, you know, next to them also find that they get water in the pipe. And that's obviously just because the way the pipe is circle is rolled
up. It's rolled up.
And there's a gravity component to
that. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So a couple of questions. Firstly, what water do you put in a humidifier? And they're all heated, aren't they? I mean, it's a heating plate that heats the water, creates the steam. Basically. So can you put tap water in there? Should you put distilled water in there? Does it matter? Do you need to clean it?
Okay, so it depends on brand to brand. Mm. Most brands will allow you to put normal water inside it.
Okay.
But depending where you are in our country, the water may have a high calcification level. So it starts after 1 week looking not very nice because it's now become cloudy. But you can use things like kettle descaler crystals.
So I was going to say, it's just like happens
it's
in kettles.
Exactly. Yeah. So clean it out. It makes it look nice. It's more about aesthetics and in terms of it.
Mm.
One key thing with humidifiers and the questions we've often had is, can I put some aloe vera into my humidifier? No.
The answer is no. Do not put anything.
No, don't put anything inside. Besides, it gets pumped directly into your lungs.
Yes.
The issue is that most manufacturer warranties cancel as soon as you put additives to the water.
Right.
So use normal – you can use water. Most cases we'd advise use filtered water, distilled water because you don't get that line and it saves you, saves you that scale issue. But you can normal use standard water in terms of it.
Now, there's one thing that you told me that is really important with a humidifier, and that is do not travel with water in the humidifier.
Yes.
So explain that.
Okay. It goes back to the warranties from the manufacturers. Water gets in an electrical piece of appliance. It shorts out.
Okay.
You have then lost your CPAP, and you will pay for a new CPAP.
Yeah.
And that's an expensive mistake to make.
So we're sitting with water in the humidifier attached to the CPAP. If you if you move it, the water flows back then into the machine instead of the way it's supposed to go, flows back into the machine, machine kaput.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. Because I understand how humidifier works. The air comes in, it flows over the water surface, takes out the steam and flows through the blowers of the CPAP and out. So immediately the water flows, if you've tilted it, the water flows into the blowers, which is a fan, in the machine and shorts
out. It's going to short. Yes. Okay. Exactly. So really important tip.
Don't travel
always
or move your humidifier without.
Right. Water. Always empty the humidifier if you're going to move it. Right. Good one. Okay. So we've spoken a little bit about the pipe. Okay. As well, because that's the next piece of it. So we have machine, we have humidifier. We now get onto the pipe. So the air is coming through the machine, through the humidifier, or the humidifier first and then the machine, which is the order.
It goes through the air flows through the humidifier,
through the machine,
through the humidifier, back through the machine and out through a pipe.
Okay. That's all right. But anyway,
depending on the machine configuration.
Yes. Depending on the, then it goes into the pipe.
Yes.
Now, as far as I understand, the pipe is exactly the same for all brands of machine. Is that correct?
Yes. You'll get different sizes of pipes, different thicknesses of pipe, but generally the end connectors are identical.
Right.
So you can use a mask, which is what you want to at the end, and a CPAP from any brand and supplier because the pipe is what is connecting the two.
Okay.
And they're basically the end connectors are a standard, an industry standard. The pipes are slightly different. You may get a 22 millimeter, you may get a 19, you may get a 15 millimeter pipe, but they are generally all the same. The only difference in piping is you may get a heated pipe versus a non-heated pipe.
Okay, so what is the heated pipe for?
So typically in winter, in cold areas, the pipe gets heated.
Okay.
At the same time as the humidifier is on. So what actually happens is that the air is warmed and kept warm so you don't get condensation. There are obviously other clever tricks people use to try and reduce the cost. They may put a bandage around their pipe and et cetera. But it's usually very cold areas that we need to actually look at heated piping.
Okay. So what you're saying is that if somebody has a Philips machine, let's say, but they don't like any of the Philips masks, but they like a mask from another distributor, that that's absolutely fine to get another mask and put it onto the CPAP machine because the pipe is the same.
Yes. Yeah. So all the manufacturers have on their masks, they'll have a specific connector to bring it back to the normal industry standard.
Okay. Okay. I think that's really important because often people say to me, but I've got this machine, but I want to get this mask. Do I have to get that machine as well? So do I have to get another machine? And the answer is no, you don't. You just go and get another mask. There are, as you said, at least six different brands of machines in South Africa. And just go and hunt if you're stuck. Go and hunt for different distributors. Okay. So we've got the pipe done now. So then the most important thing is the pipe goes into the mask. And really, when it comes to patient compliance, which is, are patients able to continue using the machine, or patient adherence, The mask is key, right?
It's the most important.
It's the only thing that's touching. It's like on a car. The most important thing are the tires because they're the only thing touching the road.
Yeah.
It's the same thing here. The mask is critical, right? And so different types of, there are different types of masks, at least three different types of masks, lots of different distributors. So we're looking at possibly 18 different types of masks
variations
out there.
An incredible number of masks.
Yes.
And that's why it becomes very personal about what you have. And you need to hunt for the right mask that suits you. Because the key thing is to keep you using your machine.
Yes.
And keep it addressing the sleep apnea.
Yeah. Three types of masks. What are they?
So three types of masks. So basically you have a typical nasal mask, as they would call it.
Which is just over the nose.
So okay. It can be sitting over the nose, can be sitting under the nose, but it's a nasal mask addresses the nose. The second type is a full face mask, which will sit completely around the face in terms of it. And most people would have been titrated on a full face mask.
Yes.
And the last type is a mask that sits under the nose, but breathes into the nose, but through the mouth as well.
Okay.
So it sits very delicately under the face over here. So
it's still in concept a full face because it's covering.
It's
so if we think about
like
the
a
full
nasal
face
cushion,
mask,
I think they call it. Yeah.
Yes, but it's covering the nose and the mouth.
And the mouth.
So if we think of full face as that, and then it's just covering over the nose. And I mean, the reason for the nasal mask is because we hope that when people sleep, that they only breathe through their nose, and that's where we want the air to go through. But the full face mask, I think, covers those patients who are mouth breathers as well.
Generally. So what we see is many people, when they've had severe sleep apnea, they have started gasping for air through the night. And therefore, they've started breathing through their mouths. But as soon as we address the sleep apnea, their mouths close and they tend to become more nasal breathers. So they revert back to being a nasal breather, which is great. Depending on the complexity in their nose and whether they've got any other disorders in their nose in terms of nasal types of issues. The nose masks are the easiest for the patient to accept and get you. You don't have much claustrophobia on those types of masks.
Because I think that is something that people are very concerned about, is the claustrophobia. I mean, I think that a lot of patients with sleep apnea have claustrophobia anyway. And I feel that if your brain is battling to breathe most of the night, there's a good reason for it to be concerned about breathing and for that to build, come into the day as being a claustrophobia, as in I don't want things on my face. So we certainly do see that. But there are other issues. I mean, we do have patients who have a nasal mask and wake up with a very dry throat. I mean, what would you advise them to do?
So typically if a person's very happy on their nasal mask and they've got a dry throat, change the humidity in on your machine. That'll be the first suggestion to have.
Yeah.
What it means is probably that they are possibly their mouth is open during some portion of the night. It may mean that in some times in the year they have to go to a more full face mask.
Okay.
So they've got a nasal mask. They may have to buy a winter type of mask, like a full face mask, so as to keep a total closed environment around the face.
But I think you can also do chin straps, right?
You can do chin, but they're not.
No, they're not. They're not great. But the point is, they do work.
They do work. But it's not such a popular thing in South Africa.
No, it's not going to be popular because now you have a mask and a chin strap and a thing and a thing and a thing. I mean, you've just got tons of things on your head. So I understand it's not popular, but it is possible.
Yeah,
it possibly
it
helps.
It is possible. It can work. It does work.
Yeah.
Generally, what we do is first of all say people increase the humidity. Secondly, look whether you need to actually have to go to more of a full face type of mask, and let's see how that affects you before you go onto chin guards and things like that to assist you in terms of it.
Okay. So there are issues that patients have with masks. I mean, I think what we need to understand, we've got this machine, which is a compressor, basically. It's taking room air, putting it under pressure, blowing it down the pipe through the mask down into your throat. So the mask comes with headgear to hold it on to the front of the face, right? So that's otherwise it would just blow off the face.
Yes.
So it comes with headgear. And certainly there are patients – there are different types of headgear as well but that headgear does match the mask. You can't mix and match.
You can't mix in terms of the brands
mask and
of headgear.
No,
exactly.
So you can't do that. I get that. But there are a lot of different types of connections. You know, when we talk about patients go, what am I going to do in the middle of the night if I need to get up for the toilet? Some of them you can just pull off from the back. Others have little magnets that you can just undo and clip them back on when you come in. Others have little hooks. So there's a range of different ways of connecting the masks to the headgear.
Perfect.
And patients, again, can say, I don't like this. I'd rather have that as a connector.
Yeah. So you get, first of all, fundamentally two types of concepts. Does the pipe come out of the front of the mouth of there? And then secondly, does the piping go above the head so that all the pipes sit behind? behind you in the pillows.
Yes.
It's just two different types of concepts that come from the brains.
Well, I think that's useful for patients to know that there's not just one thing, there are so many variations in this that they should, hunt around.
Yeah. And then all of them have what they call quick releases.
Mm.
So the quick release is if you want to go to the toilet in the middle of the night, don't try and decouple everything.
No.
You just pull the pipe out and usually it's a clip or whatever it is. You pull the pipe out and you go off to the toilet.
With the mask on.
With the mask on and you come back and you
hope
go
you
to.
Hope you don't meet intruders because they would be more terrified. anything.
And you put the pipe back in and you carry on
okay.
in terms of it. The second thing you mentioned is about clips.
Mm.
Okay. So the only thing to realize there is that if you've had an embedded pacemaker or defibrillator, just be aware that if you've got magnetic clips on your mask, you need to inform your supplier regarding that.
Your pacemaker supplier.
No, you inform your mask supplier
that you
because
have
you don't want these clips, which are magnetic, sitting alongside you because you may have embedded cochlear and other devices as well. Just be aware of that in terms of if you've got any embedded, raise it at the time of purchase.
Sure.
So they're aware because generally the recommendation is go towards clips as opposed to magnetic.
Okay. Because patients like the magnets because
it's very simple. It's very simple. You take it off, you pull your mask off and you carry on.
Yeah.
Whereas now you've got a clip and things like that. And it makes it a bit more complicated. But please just be aware of it. It is a recommendation from the FDA and others that you actually just bring that to the people's notice.
Okay. So I think we've covered everything about the mask. Let's talk about – so now you've purchased your CPAP machine. You've got all the bits and pieces and you go home. So what I want to talk about now is what happens after that, okay? Because often patients will say to me, do I need to see you again? What do I need to do with this? How does this all work? So just a couple of things. You've spoken about the filters. Clean the filters. Clean the machine?
Yes.
With what?
So typically everything gets cleaned with warm water and a detergent like Sunlight Dish Liquid or something like that without being brand specific there. So, but the issue
green is washing liquid.
Green washing liquid of some form. Warm
just
water.
Just wipe it.
So whether it's the humidifier, whether it's the pipe, whether it's the filter, whether it's the mask, once a week as
but
a
minimum. But don't try and clean inside.
Don't try and clean inside the CPAP and try and unscrew it. Don't try and do anything like that. Just those
things. So it's just a wipe over.
Just a wipe over. Make sure you've washed it out. Dry it. Don't hang it on a heated towel rail. Don't leave it in the sun because you will have damage to what you have.
Right.
So just once you've washed it, leave it to dry for the day.
Okay.
Put it back on the night
the
after
end.
It. That's the end.
The end. And you may need to descale your humidifier every so often.
But also, please be cautious and find out from your vendor if you're going to use other cleaning methods.
Yes.
Like ozone cleaning methods.
Yes.
Ultraviolet cleaning. Don't. Because they're not approved by the FDA or any of the brands. And it will disqualify your warranties again.
Yeah.
Besides whatever issues
I think it comes to the thing that some people think that if they're on CPAP and they get a cold, for example, now all of those germs are inside the CPAP machine, but they're not.
No.
I mean, the air is not gushing back into the CPAP machine. So it's unlikely that your CPAP machine is infected as such.
Yeah. The only thing is if you don't clean your machine.
Yes, that's a big problem.
If you don't clean your machine and you leave it for a couple of weeks or months, you may get algae starting to grow into the actual humidifier.
So like a fish
in the
pond,
it becomes like a fish bowl. So please do
that.
You're breathing all what is inside there into your lungs.
Yes, that's never good. Okay, so we've got that. Mask replacements. Now, the masks are not designed to go forever.
No.
How long should they last?
So typically a mask lasts about a year to 18 months, depending on how you treat it. So there's two ways of treating them. One, if the mask comes up for replacement, you exchange the insert, they call it. It's the part that sits in the middle.
The soft
part
bit.
That sits against your face.
Yes.
Those can be changed and it's usually about a third of the cost of a new mask.
Right.
So if you've treated your mask
So the whole structure that's sitting here is fine on your face. It's just the soft plastic.
The soft part, they call it an insert.
Yeah.
But that can be generally replaced annually. If you've the Velcro straps, for example, if you've got clips, don't use the Velcro straps every night.
Right.
Just leave it in the same position.
Okay.
And the mask frame or the headgear will last for more than 1 year.
Okay.
And that will save you some money.
Right.
In terms of so you can replace the insert. You can replace the complete mask. It's up to you, but it can help you a little
but
bit.
But signs that you do need to replace a mask would be that it's getting hard, that plastic is getting harder, or you have a leak.
Or you'll see a leak on your results that's coming through.
Or you'll feel a leak.
Or your partner will hear the leak and will actually ask you to address
the issue. Because the noise generally from a CPAP machine is you don't hear people breathing in. You do hear them breathing out because of the holes in the mask. So you hear a psh, yeah. You kind of hear that. But a leak is very different. The sound is like very a psh,
and you'll wake up with something piercing your ear, eye, whatever it is. And
your eyes are sore in the morning or something like that. You'll feel you'll feel that there's a leak. Exactly. Okay, so those are good tips on when to replace a mask. Yeah. All right. New machine, I think we've spoken about. Generally, you don't need to replace a machine less than 10 years unless it breaks down. Then obviously you may need to replace it. But there's no need to every year, every 3 years that you have to replace a machine. No. It's not an absolute. Okay. Now, downloads. When should patients – we've mentioned that there's an SD card in the CPAP machine, that it's all the data has been collected there on an ongoing basis. When do you think patients should do downloads?
So typically every 6 months or so that's been recommended. Yep. What I think the patient needs to be realize that they need to manage their own health.
Mm.
So if they see something's happening in their data, and they can see it on the screen or on their mobile app that they may actually have, then they need to actually just first of all phone the supplier and say, I'm seeing a bit of deviation occurring here. Mm. Is it because of the machine?
Right.
Or a mask that's leaking? Or else – should you go back to the clinician who actually helped you? So if you do see deviations, don't wait for the 6 month period and then come in. But generally after 6 months, bring the data in, the SD card in, have an upload of data. The person can have a look at it and say everything is fine. You're still within specifications, or else they'll refer you on to the clinician to actually have a look at your data further in terms of it.
Okay. I think it brings up an important point because I think often patients don't know who to go to if there's a problem with their data or there's a problem that they have a problem. They're not sure who to go to. And I think it really is important that if it's about the machine and the mask that you go to the supplier.
Exactly.
But if it's about anything else to do with your health, clinically, go back to the doctor who sent you there, or if not, to somebody who knows more about sleep that they can help you. So the biggest problem we have in CPAP is patients have got significant apnea. We put them on CPAP. They're, according to all the data that we get off that CPAP machine, it is doing very well. There's very little apnea. They're able to sleep on it, and yet they still are tired in the morning. And I think it's really important for patients to know that that probably means there's something else going on. And you do need to go back to your doctor and say, listen, I'm still tired. The CPAP machine is not fixing everything. So it's fixing the apnea, but it may be something else. And there are other sleep disorders that may be there. Because it's like that old, the old adverts that we used to get on the selling channels is with this. And just today, there's one thing more and there's more. You may have two sleep disorders. It's not outside of the realms of reality. So please, what we want when you go on CPAP is we want you to wake up feeling great in the morning, that you feel rested. If you don't wake up feeling rested, please get a download from your machine. Check the machine is working. If the machine is working well, please pursue that, because there may be something else lurking in the background that we need to treat as well.
Okay. I think coupled with that, Alison, as well, is the fact that if a patient sees something is wrong, if they don't feel their mask is fitting them well, if they're getting irritation, they're getting marks on their face, or they're getting sores on their bridge of their nose or something like that, they need to address it, because that's going to stop them using the machine.
Yes.
And rather – take a step and go and speak to the supplier, find the solution, or find another supplier.
Honestly, if you go to your supplier and they go, because that patients have told me this, that they've been told that they go back to the supplier and the supplier says, that's the only mask there is. Rubbish. There are lots of different masks. Go Google, go find other suppliers of CPAPs, go and ask your friends.
Just don't accept.
Don't accept that you have to wake up with bruises or marks on your face, or that you have to sleep with a very uncomfortable mask that appears to be hurting you. That's not
exactly.
It's not acceptable. No. Okay, we agreed. Right. Then I think the other thing is that we know that that sleep apnea causes hypertension, causes cardiac conditions, can cause atrial fibrillation, diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. For me, it's really important that if patients do have those conditions, when they go on CPAP, they need to follow up with their doctors about what's happened to my blood pressure, because it is possible that you go on to CPAP and you have high blood pressure, but the high blood pressure is actually caused by the apnea. And when you treat the apnea, the blood pressure drops. Now, when you take your medication, your blood pressure is way too low. So really, for patients, if you do wake up, if during the day you find yourself dizzy, that when you stand up, you're dizzy, it means you're over-medicated.
Yeah.
With your high blood pressure medication, now you have to go back to your doctor and tell them that. Diabetes, not so much of a problem, because there isn't an instant kind of response to that. Atrial fibrillation, certainly many patients who are diagnosed with atrial fibrillation will be sent for a sleep study, will be put on sleep apnea. It's really important to understand that the sleep apnea may change the atrial fibrillation or it may not. But it is, again, important to follow up with your cardiologist after a few months to say, is there any improvement in the atrial fibrillation? Do I still need to be on the meds that I'm on? So any medical condition that you have coming in, which may be caused by the apnea, once the apnea is gone, there may be a change in that medical condition. Please just check with your doctor that nothing has changed that is detrimental.
I think if a person's having an ablation, for example, it's very key to that. Mm. You can't just chop and change and decide, this month I'll be on my CPAP and the next month I won't.
No.
Because the success of the ablation process with the cardiologist doubles if you're on your CPAP.
Yes. So ablation, for those people who are not sure what an ablation is, that's when when you have an arrhythmia in the heart, so the heart is beating abnormally, and the cardiologist will take you to theater and kind of electrically blitz a piece of the heart muscle so you don't get that kind of arrhythmia. So that's a cardiac ablation, hugely expensive to have done. And as JJ said, if you're on CPAP and you're treated and you're treated well, then the chance of that ablation working well doubles. Yeah. And so it's really important, that connection between atrial fibrillation and sleep apnea. Then the other thing was about losing weight. We know a lot of apneics put on weight even after they've got apnea. So it becomes, people are very tired during the day. They're very fatigued, so they don't exercise. They munch calorie-rich foods. But also their metabolism is changed. And all of this we're going to talk about in the consequences of apnea, because there's so much and so much detail to talk about. I'm going to do another podcast on the consequences so that we really get to grips with that. But we know it's hard to lose weight if you have sleep apnea and it's untreated. But we do know that once you're on CPAP, it's easier to lose weight. The weight doesn't just drop off automatically. You still have to do the diet and exercise thing, but we know you're likely to lose weight. So if you lose weight, is it possible to come off the CPAP?
Theoretically, it is possible.
Theoretically,
it is possible to come off. And we've had patients. And it's actually quite a joyous occasion when the person says, I've lost actually 20, 30 kilograms. And you say, well, actually, you should have another sleep study.
Yes.
And you suddenly find that they've gone from 30 events per hour down to 3 because of the weight loss. Because every 10 kilograms you lose, your score, your natural score drops by about 30%. So you can drop by losing weight.
Yes.
You mustn't treat your CPAP like going to an ice cream place and having ice cream, and then I'm going to sleep on my CPAP tonight.
Yes.
You actually treat it as a lifestyle change.
Yes.
So always we recommend when people go into CPAP is see a dietitian at the same time. So the one time where you can address the sleep and feel more, less fatigued, want to do exercise, want to have less carbohydrates, and you need a dietitian to assist you to have the right lifestyle change from an eating perspective.
Yeah, I think it's really important. So if you're on a CPAP machine and you are overweight, not to see it as, oh, well, now the sleep apnea is fixed, I don't need to do anything about the weight, because there are other complications to being overweight apart from sleep apnea. So it increases your risk of cardiovascular disease. It is increasing the pressure on your joints. There's a lot of other complications. So there's a lot of reasons to lose weight. Often people can see that their apnea is getting better on the auto machines because they can see that the pressure now is at 11, let's say, centimeters of water. They lose 10 kilograms and now the pressure's at 7.
Yeah.
And they lose another bit of it and now the pressure's at 5. And so if you see that dropping pressure, once it gets to 5, it's only starting at 4. So usually most CPAP machines start their pressure at 4. If it's only going up to 5, it's possible that you can come off the CPAP machine.
Yeah.
So if you see that drop in pressure, then ask your doctor, please send me for another sleep study. Just be off the CPAP for a week or two. Please go back if you get symptoms, because it means we're wrong. You're wrong. You do still need it. But if you're actually relatively well and you're sleeping well, then just have another sleep study to prove that you're treated, because obviously all of your doctors will want to know that you don't need the CPAP machine.
I think
anymore.
It comes that retesting, but also if you're with a cardiologist, for example, that you need to actually put it to the cardiologist to make a clear decision, because many cardiologists don't want you to come off it because it's had a good impact to your cardiac history.
For your cardiac health.
Irrespective of whatever you on your level is.
Sure. And the other thing, just to say that there are, as we mentioned with the weight loss, there are a number of people who don't need to be on CPAP for life.
No.
I mean, I think a lot of people see it as a life sentence, that's it. I'm going to have to wear this for life. It's not necessarily for life. There are things that can be fixed, such as a blocked nose, So, I mean, we know that if the pressures are high, that there's likely to be something in the nose. So visiting an ENT to get the nose more open, likely to drop the pressures. Losing weight is another thing. And I've had a couple of patients where, and I'm not quite sure why, but I mean, I'm presuming that when you are on CPAP and you stabilize the throat, that there is a kind of repair of those muscles and a retoning of those muscles so that after 3 to 6 months on CPAP, they can come off the CPAP. But please don't assume that. Please don't just stop your CPAP. Please get retested and make sure that you're right, that you don't need the CPAP anymore. Okay, because it's as you as we've mentioned, if you have apneas over 20 per hour, there are long-term consequences. Yeah. So, JJ, we've got to the end. Any final words that you have that you want to say to patients, even if it's with wagging your finger?
clean your machine, please. No, clean your machine, because that, I think, is the most important thing, and keep using it. And if you have an issue, please go back to your supplier or other suppliers or your clinician for advice in terms of what you need to do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you very much for explaining all of that and giving your insights. And thanks to all of you who've listened. I hope that has made sense, and I hope it helps you make better choices with your CPAP machine ongoing. And please stay on your machine. You've got to use it continuously. It is definitely better for health, for long-term health, to stay on your CPAP. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.